To the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Come join us on Sunday, December 24th, that's tonight at 7, for our Christmas Eve candlelight service. It is a beautiful service. Our stained glass windows are reflected so beautifully in the candlelight. All are welcome here at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour. Our next community meal will be Saturday, January 20th from 5 to 7 p.m. We will be serving potato soup, cornbread, and fruit salad. Please join us for food and fellowship at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour. Our radio ministry is sponsored today by Beth and Kayla White in honor of Jerry's birthday. And now we will have special music by Proof. Mary, did you know?
Merry Christmas, everybody. Good morning.
Merry Christmas.
Mark and I have selected this song, Mary, Did You Know? It's a real pretty song, and you would almost imagine that it was being written to Mary. However, I kind of doubt it, but we get to appreciate the beauty of it. I don't think those were the questions that we're going to ask or questions that were going on in Mary's mind right after she gave birth to Jesus. For instance, Mark, did you know, I got curious about this. Mark, did you know that the distance from where Jesus was living, where he lived his life before he was born in Bethlehem, he had to travel, his mom had to travel pregnant from Nazareth to Bethlehem. That's about 80 miles. And she's pregnant. She can't even see her feet. And so when we ask her these questions, Mary, did you know, all these beautiful questions that we know that Jesus is going to become, she's probably wondering, hey, wise men, thanks a lot for the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but it sure would have been nice to have formula, diapers, and some casseroles. Otherwise, it probably, if it had been three wise ladies, that's probably what they would have brought.
Amen.
And she probably wondered what she was doing in this manger. And, Mark, did you know that they didn't just go back home to Nazareth? King Herod got wise to that what he thought was going to be the savior of our universe. And so what he did was he wanted Jesus killed. So they didn't just go straight back home to Nazareth. They had to go and escape into Egypt for a while. So, you know, we got to give a little more credit to Mary. Like the preacher said, every time you consider the season, you come up with new things to think about. Those are my new things to think about.
Excellent.
Yes. We hope you enjoy this song.
So, and also, we're changing things up a little bit because Jimmy thought it would add a little texture.
Yep. Dimension.
So if that texture feels like sandpaper, blame me.
And we'd also like to thank the Troy Nicholson Seasonal Orchestra for always being ready for us. He's almost never in a bad mood.
You can sing along too if you'd like.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? And did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the baby. God, Mary, did you know?
That was beautiful. What a powerful song if you listen to those words, and can't imagine how Mary felt. Today's scripture reading is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. That's on page 1012 in your pew Bible. And after the scripture, the sermon will be brought to us by Pastor Angel Armstrong, and the title is Promises, Promises, Promises. Luke 1, 26 to 38. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Glory to God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Promises, promises, promises. I can still hear my Nana's voice. Promises, promises, promises. Generally said after my sister and I promised everything under heaven and earth. Cleaning the house, sweeping the driveway, whatever, if she would just let us go here. Or if she would just get us this from Kmart. Promises, 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 she said. Because she knew that we as children would not always maintain our promises. But our good and gracious God does indeed maintain his promises to us. Now sometimes those promises take a long time. Joseph waited 13 years. Abraham and Sarah waited what seemed like forever. And they took matters into their own hands. They said, Sarah says to Abraham, God's not going to fulfill the promise he spoke. So take my maidservant, Hagar, and go and sleep with her. And then we will have our promised child. And we will have descendants as many as the stars in the sky. And even though they who had little faith, even though they did not believe God's promises at that very moment, God still took and blessed that situation. He watched over Hagar and Ishmael. And even when Hagar was sent out into the desert and she was destitute, she sat there and she placed her child underneath a tree because she didn't want to watch him die. God said, I see you, Hagar. And God sees each and every one of us. And if God tells us, either through his word or through personal revelation, that he is going to do something in our lives, he will. It may not always look as we expect it to look. But then again, we have expectations for our life, for the people around us, for God. But our good and gracious God does indeed fulfill his promises. This morning's gospel reading from Luke recounts the announcement to Mary that she would become the mother of the Savior. And as Jimmy said, you can't imagine what was going through her head at that moment. First off, this angel came. And angels aren't beautiful little babies with wings on them. They were huge, majestic, terrifying creatures. The angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor in the Lord. She was so humbled by that. Me? And then he told her that she was going to be with child. She didn't balk at that so much as just to say, how can that be? I've never been with a man. The angel told her the Holy Spirit would come upon her. She would conceive a son and she was to name him Jesus. Now, Mary, in those times, had to be thinking about her beloved Joseph's face when he found out that she was pregnant. She had to be thinking about the shame that it would bring upon her family. And in those times, shame was huge. You could be ostracized and shunned. It was the worst thing that could possibly happen to you. But her response in faith was, let it be unto me as you have said. God knew that as he chose the humbled, lowly peasant girl, she would fulfill his promise to all of us. Mary's song, her song of praise called the Magnificat, which she sang in response to this announcement, was in reality a promise to her that she would become the mother of the Christ child. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Promises. Promises, promises, promises. Promises are an integral part of life. I don't know one single relationship that is not based on promises in one way or another. Our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, is most certainly based upon promises. There is a covenant, a promise between husband and wife that is sacred. There is a promise between mother and father and child I will protect you. I will love you unconditionally. And the most heartbreaking of times is when those promises are not fulfilled. But beloved, we have a God in heaven who is both mother and father for those of us who those promises were broken by our parents. He bestows upon us a gentle love, and He has adopted each and every one of us into His kingdom. He has grafted us into His family. Promises are easy to make, and they are even easier to break. How many times have you broken a promise, not even meaning to? I remember the promises that I made to my children and then breaking them. When my kids were young, I had four kids and I was a single mom. I worked full time and I went to school full time. And I would tell them, we're going to go to the zoo. And then life happened. The car would break down. I wouldn't have the money. Something would come up and I couldn't take them. To this day, I can still see their faces when I had to break those promises. I would apologize with all my heart. But our God does not break His promises to us. They might not come in a form or fashion that we are expecting. I don't think that there is one single human relationship that has not had a broken promise. I want to digress for just a minute. Have you ever noticed when you and I read a passage of Scripture, we tend to put halos over certain parts of that Scripture. We tend to put a significance on it that is heavenly and has glory. But yet we compare that portion of Scripture to what is happening in our own lives. And we tend to put a holy aura over that as well. What is written in Scripture is indeed holy and should have a holy aura surrounding it and should be taken as sacred, even though we might have to wait years for some of it to come, even though we might not be able to comprehend it, and even though, as I said earlier this morning, we have a changing understanding of Scripture as many times as you read the same passage. That passage will jump out at you and there will be something different in it. If you sit before the living Word, the Word of our living Lord, and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Himself before you, I guarantee you, you will have a different relationship with Scripture. The problem is when you and I look for the presence of God in our lives today, I have a hunch that you and I are not so different that we secretly look for that holy aura to appear and to happen to us. And when it doesn't, we mistakenly conclude that God has moved away from us. I don't know about you, but there's times where I wonder where He is. Now, we all go through dry spells, desert times, times when we do not hear our God, and we must rely upon our faith. That is why it is so very important that we read the Word of God for ourselves, that you do not take what any preacher says or what anyone else says as gospel. Read it for yourself. Keep reading it. Pray over it. That is why it is so important that we pray daily, so that during those dark and dry times, we can rely upon what we have read. It's also important that we remember all of the times that our God has answered prayer, that He has been there with us, because there will be those times where it feels like He's not there. I've been known to drive down the street. Where are you, God? Did you go on vacation? You've left me. I can't hear you. Now, I know some of y'all have felt that way before. But He's there. He is listening. You see, you and I are in the 21st century, and we expect things to happen right now. This is called the microwave generation. We pray and we expect it to happen. We expect the phone to ring right then. We pray and we expect God to take that pain this instant. I've learned to pray, God, be with them in the pain. Overshadow their pain by the joy of your presence. Because I have learned we can survive anything in life. Intense pain, grief, disaster, divorce, our lives falling apart. We can survive anything knowing that God is present with us. But on those rare times where we can't feel Him, He has not left us. We might have moved away, but He has not left us. Our God is not a Santa Claus God. We can't ask for this, that, and the other thing, and He will deliver it immediately. We all want what I call a Hollywood ending, but sometimes His promises come through tears. Sometimes His promises come through the broken and difficult times in our lives. And I don't know about you, but when He sustains me through those times, I am more grateful to Him than I am in the good times for having felt His presence. Let me bring this back around to what I started with this morning. God's promise to Mary that she was to birth our Savior. Folks, there was no halo surrounding that event. She was pregnant out of wedlock, and there was going to be shame. It was a major catastrophe. The shame and the humiliation was far more than what happens in the 21st century. I can still vividly remember being 14 years old and pregnant with my first child. And I remember older women coming up to me on the bus and saying, "Shame on you! Shame on you! People didn't do things like that in my day." There is shame, unfortunately, that surrounds those things. But that child is still a blessing. And this child was a blessing to all creation. Mary was wrestling with what the angel had announced to her, that she would give birth to the Messiah. And Joseph, oh, bless Joseph's heart. Not only was this a child born out of wedlock, but it wasn't even his child. He could have had Mary stoned to death, or at the very least, had the tip of her nose cut off. He could have had her exiled away from everybody. But he chose not to harm her. He chose to walk alongside of her. And God sent him a message through the angels as well, telling him, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for this child is the Messiah. If that happened to us today, I'm positive that we would not see this situation in which a promise of God was unfolding. I think we'd all try to get out of it. In human nature, we'd be angry at God for allowing the situation to happen rather than saying, let it be with me as you have said. When we come to the point where we can thank God for difficult situations in our lives, He blesses us with a whole new level of faith, and we begin to see the reality in His promises. My point is that the promises of God most often unfold in this life as trials and problems, not as glowing halos and singing angels. You see, if we're expecting halos and angels in our life, we can become very easily disappointed and bitter towards God for not fulfilling his promises to us. And beloved, during this season, we need to be in prayer for all of those around us because it is so difficult. It is more heightened during this season. The loneliness, the pain, the missing the people that we are grieving, the missing our children who are not close by, the wondering what happened to the promises for me. We need to be in prayer. We need to check on the people around us. For our good and gracious God will fulfill his promises. And sometimes we get to be a part of that. He works through us to encourage one another. I think Mary's reaction to this situation is really worth us noticing. Pregnant and out of wedlock, facing the wrath of her friends and her community, she still responds to the grimness of her situation with a song of praise. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. I often wonder if we would respond like Mary when we find ourselves in the middle of a difficult situation, when we are in the midst of the messy side of life. I'll go out on a limb and say, if we can continue to praise God during the trials and tribulations, during the messy times of our lives, we will be open more and more within ourselves to see the promises of God unfold in our own lives and in the lives around us. Yes, even our Christmas expectations of God will be different. What about you this Christmas? Will you own him? When you sing in just a moment, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. What shape will you be expecting God's promises to take for you in this coming year?
How still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars together, proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God our King, and peace to men on earth.